Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor there at the church. And with me the last couple of times has been missionary Ann Dreisbach. And Ann, you have just been sharing some amazing things to our minds, because when we think of missionaries, many times we have no clue exactly how it works. And so I just wanted to take this time this morning just to be able to help our listeners to understand what God enables you to do through these medical clinics. So share with us what the average day would be like as you open up the door and open up the windows. And are people already waiting?
Oftentimes there are people already waiting. In earlier years, started clinic at 7 o'clock, but now I start at 8. People have to come from other villages. They come by canoes. They have to think about the tide. And so when I start at 8, I have a devotional with the patients that are there on the porch.
Okay.
I pray with them, and they get numbers. They come in. It's first come, first serve.
Uh-huh.
And in a day, I can see maybe 10 patients. I might see 65. I might see 110.
You have no
clue. So I don't have any clue how many patients I'm going to have that day. Then this gives me an opportunity not only to care for their needs, but it also gives me the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with them. And we have learned over the years that people are often more receptive when they're in need. If you think you've got everything and you're on top of everything, then you don't need the Lord.
Sure.
But when you're sick or if you have a real problem, you are more open for counseling and for help.
Right.
And over the years, I've had a few people that have professed their faith in Jesus Christ, and I believe it was through the influence of the clinic.
Uh-huh.
The Lord uses this to open up whole villages. I remember a number of years ago, I had had a hard week getting my clothes off the line, living in the jungle and it raining all the time. Mm. I had washed clothes on Monday and this was Friday and the clothes still weren't dry. I'd gone down to another village for a Bible class in the afternoon and got back around 5 o'clock, and I knew to get my clothes off the line because of the humidity. And because I'm short, I had to stand on a bench and get the clothes off the line when a man came running up to the porch, whom I knew was a very, very immoral, wicked man.
Mm.
And he said, "Can you come help us quick?" And he called the name of a man in his village who had been badly burned. And I said, "How badly burned?" And the story was that the man had had a stroke and so was limited in his ability to use one hand and one leg. Knowing that it would soon be dark, he decided to lighten his kerosene lantern. He was holding the lantern in his crippled hand and trying to light the lantern with his good hand, and he caught his silk shirt on fire.
Oh.
And so he just went up in flames. He flung the lantern. He threw himself to the ground and rolled in the dirt. A naked little 5-year-old girl walked by, and she screamed for help. Well, by the time I got over there, this man took me over in his canoe.
Right.
And when we got over to the village, the whole village was standing around and they were wailing. They were saying, "He's dead, he's dead, he's dead." And as I walked into the hut, it was just horrible, the stench. Burnt silk.
Burnt flesh.
Burnt flesh.
Yeah.
And the person had first, second, and third degree burns of his back, his front, his legs, his whole body. It was a miracle that he was still alive. Well, I checked the man's vital signs. They were fine. And so I gave him a shot for pain. And then I started to take care of the burns. And as I was doing this work, I was thinking, oh no, it's going to be dark by the time I finished. And I'm going to have to go across the river with that wicked, wicked man.
Mm.
Well, in the end, some boys from my own village came across and took me home.
Oh.
And I was glad. They're wicked boys too, but at least they were my boys. But
yeah,
anyway, for 12 days, I went across the river twice a week to take care of that man.
Wow.
I insisted that they put a mattress on the floor, so it was just a sponge mattress. The man could not care for himself. No one would care for him. As I would cross the river, the men would run and hide in the jungle. The women would stand around spitting in disgust. And even my boatman would say, I will take you across the river, but please ask me not to go in that room. I just can't handle the stench. And so twice a day, I would go and lift this man up. I would, with my bare hands, wash the burn areas, and the slime that was coming out and maggots started to come out of the burned areas. I would be on my hands and knees on this sponge mattress. My knees were in his urine and excrement, and I would care for his burns. I took him food like Jell-O and pudding because they weren't even giving him anything to eat.
Wow.
After 12 days, the man died. During those 12 days, I had had all of my clinics. I had had all of my Bible clubs in the villages. I had delivered 5 babies at night. Babies love to come at night, which meant lack of sleep.
Sure.
When the man died, I was concerned. I thought, now, they might blame me because they're a very superstitious people and
right.
will want to fault someone.
Right.
2 days after the burial, they sent for me. And so, with a little bit of nervousness, the boatman took me across the river, and we were ushered to where the village leaders and the captain of the village were sitting. They were doing a traditional foot stamping and hand clapping, and they were talking. It takes them quite a while to get to the subject. They go around Red Robin's barn before they get there.
Okay.
But eventually, the captain said, "We have called you across the river today to thank you for all you mean to this village. Now we know that there is nothing too disgusting for you to do, and we would just like to say thank you." And so they gave me a traditional thank you of the foot stomping and the hand clapping, and a couple days later sent me a couple kilos of wild meat. And then I began to notice that more people were coming to our church services.
Wow.
They might have come drunk. They might have come with their pet monkeys. But God's word will not return unto him void.
Sure. That is just so amazing, because they saw that you took on the form of a servant, which is something none of them would do.
That's right.
Obviously. I mean, they would run into the woods and spit and disgust and everything else. But you came regularly and cared for this man. And, you know, Ann, that's exactly the way the Lord is, isn't it?
That's right.
Came to us when no one else would have anything to do with us. Many people had given up on us.
That's
but
right.
God never did.
That's and, right.
And what a precious privilege then for you to travel with the national evangelist and just begin to watch the Lord open up hearts and lives through your ministry.
That's right. The national evangelist has worked with me all of these years from the very beginning. And we believe we're probably about the same age. His age was not recorded. In the 1970s, the government came onto the river and gave those who did not have birth dates a birth date. And the birth date they gave him is just 2 months before my birth date.
Ah.
But we figure, thinking about things that have happened in our lives,
mm-hmm.
that it's very, very close. And so his wife and he have worked closely with me all of these years.
So when you come back on furlough, you report to the various supporting churches, you obviously are touching lives, young people, young adults who begin to think, you know, that might be something God could use me in doing. I know we have had a young man visiting our church and we've brought him into our home and spent some time with him, and he's really praying about being a medical missionary in an area of the country where Christians are not welcomed at all. And what a thrill it is to talk to this young man and say, if that's the way God is directing you, God's going to provide.
That's right. He will never leave us or forsake us. And even sometimes when I'm rudely awakened in the middle of the night from people in the village who are demon-possessed, I know I've got God's word there to comfort me and to encourage me, and I have his word, which I believe, and I know that no matter what situation I find myself in, the Lord is right there with me.
Mm. That's such a precious truth, that God is Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. And I'm sure there have been many nights when there were troubled conditions going on in your village, but yet God gave you peace.
That's right. And it's a thrill to realize that it's because I'm a child of God, mm-hmm. my Heavenly Father, that I can have that peace that passeth understanding.
And God's not a respecter of persons. If he gives you that peace, he will give others that peace as well, if they're responsive to, this is what I want you to do. And I know it's difficult for folks that go through missions conferences. They hear about this need there and that need there and that need there. And many times it's difficult to know exactly, Lord, where would you want me to serve? What advice would you give folks that have that question?
First of all, pray and ask the Lord where he would have you to serve, and then you begin to take steps.
Okay.
You can't expect to just sit there and hold out your hand and expect him to plop the answer there. You have to make steps. Writing letters, reading up in the encyclopedia, the internet, or wherever, finding out what the needs are and where they are and where you could best use your gifts and talents. And the Lord will close doors and he will open doors. It's just that we have to start walking.
One of the neatest things about our society today is the proliferation of information. A fantastic book to let us know what's going on in the world around us is a book entitled Operation World. It takes all of the countries of the world and breaks them down, lets you know various things about population and socioeconomic groups and aspects of how to prepare to both visit those lands as well as live in those countries. But the neat thing is the fact that it shares so much current information about the religious condition of each one of those countries. And so many times we say, well, yeah, but I'm sure that information is old. The neat thing, again, about Operation World is that it is published every year. And so to get the most current information about whatever country that you might be interested in, you would just simply get the current edition of Operation World. And you've got all the information you need. I know one of the missionaries that we began to support when I first started a church in Georgia years ago did a research concerning the various countries that seemed to be the most open to the gospel. And the person was also really struggling with the ability to speak a foreign language, and so they wanted to find what country spoke English and was open to the gospel. And so as they did the research and came up with their country, what a thrill it was then for us to be able to get reports from that missionary family, hearing of the sound of the gospel going out and of scores and scores of people getting saved. All of it goes back to the evangelism exploration which they did. And so I would encourage you, if you have an interest in missions, check out Operation World. It will be one of the best investments that you've ever made.